Surely you've heard someone say it. I've heard someone say it. I cannot stand Christians. They are a bunch of hypocrites. They're just hypocrites. They are two-faced. They say one thing, they profess one thing, and they live another way. I can't stand them. I don't want anything to do with hypocrisy. You know what? It's good that you don't want anything to do with hypocrisy. Because you know what God says? God says that hypocrites before Him are going to be without excuse. You can't sit there and judge someone and then live the way they live and get away with it. So know this, God's going to take care of the hypocrites. But what about you? Where do you stand with God? Will you be judged by God? Or will you be blessed by God? We'll talk about it today. What, my friend, you and I have just achieved a milestone. We're on Romans chapter 2. And in Romans chapter 2, God is going to take a look at the other segment of the population. Let me read Romans chapter 2 to you, not the whole chapter, but just the first verses. So get out your Bible. If you got your colored pencils, you're going to need those. And then, or get out your booklet. And if you haven't gotten that booklet yet, it's not too late. All you have to do is just pick up the phone, call our 800 number, and order that booklet and those colored pencils that are going to help you as we study the Bible together inductively. Remember, inductive means this, that we remove the middleman. I know I'm the middleman, but I'm just acting as a guide to help you see what the Word of God says for yourself. So Romans chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore you are without excuse, each one of you or every man of you who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practices the same things. Now, what is he saying here? He's making this transition. He has just shown us about these people that dishonor God, these people that end up in this reprobate lifestyle, these people that dishonor their bodies and degrade their bodies and end up with a reprobate mind, a mind that has no right, no wrong, and these people and how they just applaud others that do the same. But then it's like Paul just turns around. It's like he's in the courtroom. And that's what Romans really is. It's a courtroom drama. It's a gospel where he lays out the defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he answers every objection that comes against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful adventure. And we're going to go a little bit faster as we go through. But in chapter 2, he turns around. And he says, okay, what about you? You, they're sitting there saying, those dirty, rotten sinners, those people ought to be strung up. They ought to be hung. They ought to be this. They ought to be that. We ought to take the law into our own hands. We ought to, you know, we ought to get those guys. And then he turns around and he says, okay, but what about you? What about you? Now, some believe that he's talking to the Jew here. Others believe that he's talking about to anyone, Jew or Gentile, that is sitting there saying these things are wrong, and yet they, in truth, are participating in the same. It's like going down the road and somebody passes you speeding like mad and you say, look at that guy. He's going over that speed limit. He's just a speed demon. I wish a cop would pick him up. And then several days later, you look at your watch, you're late, you put four to the floor, and you take off, and you pass others. Ah, you judged that other guy the other day. Hypocrite. So watch what he says. Therefore, you are without excuse. Every man of you who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, in that you sit there and you make yourself the judge and not God. In other words, you sit as the judge and not God. You condemn yourself, for you who judge practice. Now, practice means you do it more than once. It means that you do it over and over again. It's in the present tense. It's habitually. You're habitually doing these things. Now you say, habitually doing these things. Well, let me just explain it this way. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is talking about, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you. This is in the famous Sermon on the Mount. And he says, you have heard it said that you shall not murder. And then he says, but look, do you look at that person and call them a fool? Do you say that they're worthless, that they shouldn't be allowed to live? He says, you've just murdered them in your heart. So when God wants righteousness, and this is what I want you to understand and what I need to understand, it's not an external thing, but it's an internal thing that manifests itself externally. That's what he wants. He wants a righteousness that starts inside and manifests itself outwardly. So he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 5, you who say you should not commit adultery. He says, do you look at a woman? Do you look at that woman and keep on looking at her to commit adultery with her in your heart? In other words, are you undressing her? Oh, you're going to go home to your wife. Oh, you're going to be faithful physically. But internally, are you having sex with that woman in your mind? He says, I want you to know, if you are, you're guilty of adultery. Now, he could be talking to the Jew here. And he could be talking to the Jew because look at verse 17. Drop down to verse 17. He says, but if you bear the name Jew and rely upon the law and boast in God. And so then he's going to talk to the Jews about how you know his will and you approve these things. But then you get involved in them. He says, then you're guilty. So whatever, just know this, that you may not be living this licentious lifestyle. You may not be immoral, as described in Romans chapter 1. You may not be committing adultery. You may not be involved in homosexuality. You may not be involved in lesbianism. You may not have this depraved mind where you are filled with all unrighteousness and all these things. But if you are sitting there saying this is right and this is wrong and you don't live by it, then you're without excuse. So what have we seen now? We've seen without excuse before, haven't we? So we need to mark that. Let's go back and look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Now, why could I pick it out that quickly? I couldn't remember where the verse was, but I could pick it out because I had it marked. So this is what I would suggest that you do. Take a black pen, fine point, and just do a cloud around it so that they are without excuse. Then come over to chapter 2, verse 1, and do the same thing. You are without excuse, and mark it that way. So we find out that men are without excuse before God, when they stand before God to be judged by God, they're without excuse. Number one, because Romans 1, because they have the evidence of God within them. And they have the evidence of a God without. So they're without excuse. Here, they're without excuse in chapter 2 because they say that things are wrong. They have an absolute. They have drawn a line and they have said this is right and this is wrong and it shouldn't be done. And they're sitting there and they're judging a man that's doing or a woman that's doing what's wrong. And yet, if they do the same, they're without excuse. So, let's go on. He says, and we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. Now, that's not the way it reads literally in the Greek. And I want to go back to the literal Greek. And in the margin of the New American Standard Bible, which is the version that I use, they correct it. And it says literally is according to truth against. So this is the way it should read. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Now see, a hypocrite is like an actor. And hypocrites can be very good actors. They can be Academy Award winners. I mean, just an Academy Award performance. But they're putting on. And they're putting on a show because they want to impress people or because they want them to think differently of what they are. So to be a hypocrite means to be an actor. It means to play a part. And it's also used for wearing a mask. In the Roman theater, in the days when Paul wrote this, when they would go on stage, because the arenas were so huge and they didn't have the big screens that we have now, you know, to bring the audience close to the main character on the stage, they would many times take a mask. And if it was sad, if the character was sad, they would put this, you've seen it in the thespian pen, they would have this sad face, this the drooping mouth, or they would have the smiling mouth. And so they would take the mask and put it on with the white and the black, and then the audience could tell, hey, this is sad, hey, this is happy. And so this was to wear a mask. So he says, we know that the judgment of God is according to truth. So you can know this, God sees beyond the mask. God sees beyond the play acting. God sees beyond the impression that you're trying to make. He sees right inside to the thoughts and intents of our heart. Now, the reason I wanted to correct this about according to truth is because you're going to see this phrase, and you're going to see that the judgment of God is according to three things. In chapter 2, it is according to truth, and it's against those who practice such things. And he says, and do you suppose, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things, and you do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Now, remember, in Romans chapter 1, we saw the wrath of God. And remember how you marked it? Look at it. It's right in verse 18, for the wrath of God is being revealed. All right, so we marked it with a red line like this, kind of like flames. Okay, now we see judgment used and judge used in two different ways. We see man judging, and then we see the judgment of God. All right, now when we talk about the judgment of God, we want to mark that. And that judgment of God is a judgment that is like a purifying fire, okay? So let's mark it the same way that we marked wrath, because he's talking about that ultimate judgment of God. So therefore, in verse 2, we would mark, and we know that the judgment of God, so mark judgment there, is according to truth. Verse 3, and do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment, we're not going to mark that because that's man passing judgment, upon those who practice such things and do the same thing yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God. So we want to mark judgment of God there. He says, you're not going to escape the judgment of God. Listen to me very, very carefully. There is no human being on the face of this earth that is going to escape the judgment of God, the condemnation of God, except those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I'm talking about genuine Christianity. And I want you to know that sometimes genuine Christians can act like hypocrites. I've been guilty of doing that myself, but I'm so ashamed. And the fact that I'm ashamed shows me that I belong to the one who doesn't want me to behave that way. And he's convicted me of that sin. We're going to talk about the judgment of God more when I come back, but I want you to hear what we have to say because it will help you grow. Have you ever wanted to go someplace just to get away and you couldn't? Something was stopping you. It was the children, or it was the family, or it was finances, or it was just time. Well, we've got good news for you. We're going to have a women's conference, and we're going to webcast part of that women's conference. I'm so excited because I get to teach you, and our subject is help, Lord, help. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. So I want to invite you as an individual in your home or with a group of women or in your church to get together and to sign up for our webcast. I hear that it's almost as good as being there. That's October 21st and 22nd. You know, in Romans 2, when God points his finger, puts his finger on the nose of the hypocrite, I can't help but think of Luke. And I want you to write it down. You might want to write it down. You know what I do sometimes is I just take a pencil because I can erase it later on. And in the margin of my Bible, I've written hypocrite, Luke 18, and then a colon, and then verses 9 to 14. So let's go to Luke 18, and let's take a look at this hypocrite. Because in Luke chapter 18, Jesus wants men to understand how he feels about hypocrisy. We know how you feel about hypocrisy. You don't like it, do you? I don't either. But I don't ever want to be a hypocrite. And I know there are times that I have been hypocritical. Not in the sense that I've always said something and meant another thing, but just kind of, you know, I wanted to give a good impression of myself. And, you know, the flesh, the flesh is that way, isn't it? So Luke chapter 18 and in verse 9, and it says, "And he, Jesus, also told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt." Now, doesn't that set the scene? All right. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer." Now, listen, the Jews could not stand the tax gatherers. Why? Because they were like turncoats. They were collecting money for the Roman Empire who had oppressed the Jews and who ruled over the Jews. And the Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer." Now, he's just named some of the things in Romans chapter 1. And he's so thankful that he's not like this, and especially that he's not like that tax gatherer. He says, "I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get." I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all I get. Aren't you proud of me? That's the way he's acting. What is he pointing to? Listen, he's pointing to his external deeds. His external deeds. He says, "But the tax gatherer, standing at some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast saying, 'God, God, God, be merciful to a sinner like me.'" Now, what was he doing? He was honoring God as God. He saw that God was righteous. He saw that he was a sinner. He knew the profile of God. He knew that God was merciful. And he says, "I tell you," Jesus is speaking now, "this man went down to his house justified." Justified means declared righteous, "rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." So the man that's sitting there passing judgment in Romans chapter 2 is judging what he is doing and what he is doing wrong. So let's go back and see what God says. Verse 4, and it goes right with what we just saw in Luke. He says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" I want to ask you a question. Have you done something and you know that it's wrong and you really haven't gotten what you fully deserve? Have you stopped to think about it? Have you stopped to think that it is the kindness of God possibly that is leading you to repentance? Now, what is repentance? And repentance is a very important word. It's a word that you want to mark whenever you find it in the Bible. all right? And what I do is I color it yellow, because yellow's really my color for God, because God is light, okay? And so I color it yellow. So I color it yellow, then I take a red pen and I go underneath it, I underline it, and then I take it and I make it go in the opposite direction and I put an arrow on it. Now, what am I doing? I'm showing the meaning of repentance. The word repentance means to have a change of mind, a change of mind. So what is he saying? He's saying it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance, that causes you to turn around, that causes you to turn around in gratitude and say, oh, God, I was wrong. Oh, God, forgive me. He says, but because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart. And you know what we're going to do, don't you? Unrepentant, we're going to mark it the same way as repentance. And what are we going to do? You've got it. We're going to put a slash through it to show that it is a negative instead of a positive. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you, now listen carefully, are storing up wrath for yourself. He says, in the day of wrath and the righteous revelation and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So what do you need to do? You need to mark wrath there with your red. You need to mark judgment there like this with the red. And you need to understand what he's saying, because then he goes on to say, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now he's talking about a wrath of God that is yet to come. We saw in Romans 1 that there is a wrath being poured out right now on men who do not honor God as God, who suppress the truth of God with their unrighteousness and with their ungodliness. There's a wrath being poured out. But there is a wrath that is yet to come. There is a judgment that is yet to come. And that judgment and that wrath culminates in the worst of all judgments, and that's the lake of fire. Let me take you to it. I want you to go in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, okay? Revelation chapter 20, because he's talking about a wrath that's going to come, and remember, a wrath where a man is going to be judged according to his deeds. So what we saw in verse 2 of Romans 2 was that the judgment of God was according to truth. Now in verse 6, we see that the judgment of God will be according to a person's deeds, who will render to a man according to his deeds. All right, so in Revelation chapter 20, it's talking about the final judgment. The only people that are standing here, now listen carefully, the only people that are standing here are the lost, those that refuse to honor God, those that remained hypocrites all their lives, those that accepted the kindness of God but never turned around. They said, God owes it to me. I deserve this. I should have more. You know, but they never were repentant. They never had a change of mind. They never turned around. All right, so now they're standing at the great white throne judgment of God. Messiah has already come. Messiah has already reigned for 1,000 years on the face of this earth. And all the Jews that are living and that survive know who Messiah is. And the world also knows that to the world, they were just Jews. But to God, they were His beloved. They were His beloved. So all of this has happened now. And they have recognized that the Messiah's name is Yeshua. It is Jesus. And He is the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach. He is the Messiah. And so in verse 11 it says, and I saw the great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, standing before the throne. And who's on the throne? God's on the throne. And the books were opened. So all these books now are opened, okay? And they're opened before God. And it says, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. I didn't read that right. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. Have you seen that phrase before? Yes, you've seen it in Romans chapter 2, in verse 6, when it says that God will render to every man according to his deeds. So now watch. Let me read Romans 2, verse 5 and 6 again. But because of the stubbornness and because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself. You're compounding wrath upon wrath upon wrath upon wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Now, when the books are open, one is a book of life. And I want you to understand the heart of God. When you were born, your name is written in the book of life. Now, we get this. I don't have time to explain it to you, but you can get it by studying it on your own. But your name is written in the book of life. But when you do not receive Jesus Christ, when you refuse to bow the knee and understand that that is the only Savior in the world and that that is the only way for you to have eternal life, then God erases your name from the book of life. He erases it. And so the book of life is opened up and your name's not in there. As a matter of fact, he says in the scriptures that you are twice dead. You were born in your trespasses and sins, but God doesn't want you to perish. So God brings the good news, like he's doing today, of the gospel to you, because he doesn't want you to live like Romans 1. He doesn't want you to live like Romans 2:1. He doesn't want you to live a life of hypocrisy. He wants you to live a life, abundant life. But when you refuse, then all your deeds are recorded and you will be judged according to your deeds. And the degree of punishment, it'll all be punishment, but the degree of punishment will be determined, precious one. And you are precious to God. And you're listening because God wants to bring you to himself, but it will be according to those deeds. We'll talk about it more next week, but think on it now.
Thank you for watching Precepts for Life. This is just one of many programs offered through Precept Ministries International. These lessons are great to share with a friend, small study group, or even listen to in the car. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Precept Ministries International is excited to offer tools that will help you discover truth for yourself. To order this program or an entire series, call Precept Ministries International at 1-800-763-1990 or visit preceptsforlife.com. Thank you for watching today. All the programs on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order today's program, click on our website at preceptsforlife.com. And be sure to download your free copy of the study guide by logging on to our website or calling us today at 1-800-763-1990.